Today we are greeted by none other than a good friend of mine, former second ranked competitive eater in the world, Bob Shout. It's good to finally have you on the show, man. How's
Thanks
it going? Bob
me.
Actually comes from the scene of the golden age of major league eating, right? When competitive eating first kind of like became huge.
Like, I personally was locked out of many contests. I did a contest to get there, and it was Sonia Thomas's birthday the next day. Sonia Thomas was like the top eater out there. It was a total setup for her, but I knew I was going to win the contest. And I won the contest easily. Boom. Last year, the contest.
Like, what was the worst repercussions then from eating like large quantities and like health-wise, or like how you felt afterwards? Like, what's the worst you've had?
Pretty much every Nathan's contest. Couldn't stand that contest. It was the worst contest on earth.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Josh.
Welcome back to the Breaking Beer Podcast. Yay! You do some like crowd music and whatnot.
Crowd music.
Yeah, we'll do.
We've got a crowd.
Yeah. Well, Bradley, give us a clap or something. Pretty good. Yeah, we don't even need like the additional sound effects. Today we are greeted by none other than a good friend of mine, former second ranked competitive eater in the world. Give me a second. Salmon chowder, skyline chili, roast beef sliders, crystal hamburgers, champion of the world, wing bowl, champion of the world, and everything. Bob Shout, it's good to finally have you on the show, man. How's
Thanks
it going?
For having me. I swear I was listening to George Shea there.
Nobody will know who that is. But how's England treating you so far, man?
I mean, it's great. I absolutely love being here. I have been following like England since I was a little kid. As a matter of fact, like I remember when I like graduated high school, you guys had a big event here. And I bought the paper then to save it, and I brought it.
I feel like this is a setup for a really big gag.
No. This was like when I graduated high school. I bought this paper.
Jesus Christ.
The queen was crowned.
Yeah, she's dead now.
No way. She passed?
Lizzie, she passed, yeah. But, you know, I should have a good life, so.
The Evening Bulletin, Philadelphia, Tuesday, June 2nd, 1953.
That can't be when you were. You definitely didn't graduate high school.
I was above. That was advanced. I skipped a year.
Should we start how we start every podcast? Let's get some structure to this.
People get mad though, because like it's so rare we have guests that people think it's rude that we sideline them.
Comments. But we've integrated. We've listened to the audience.
Oh, right. Okay.
So like we've integrated these into it. So George, do the YouTube comments, mate.
It's time for a YouTube comment from you.
You getting the jingle, Bob?
Yeah.
You get it piped in? It's good, right?
It's good stuff. Okay, so first comment from The Fish Dog. Beard needs to go and stay with Bob in the USA and train for a championship like Karate Kid.
But, like, can it be not eating? Because I feel like I've got no chance of winning eating at, like, at anything. But I would, like, I don't think Bob's wife would appreciate that. But I have actually been at Bob's house, or should I say palace, in the outskirts of Philly, right?
That's the summer state, yeah.
Yeah. I think we were mostly in the west wing of the house. We had a couple of beers, right? Sat out, like, chewing the fat in the garden. I really appreciate that. It was a good time, man. Good little video series I did there as well.
I bet you were living the dream out there, weren't you? Like all that. I imagine I can see the vision now. Nice big house, lots of land, not many people around. That's like your dream, isn't it?
Well, like Bob's in the neighborhood. I don't want to give away where he lives, right? But he's in the neighborhood, but like you've got, I don't know, maybe 40 yards either side of a house, as opposed to like in England, where if you're in a neighborhood, a detached house is about 3 inches from the next detached house. They don't even use the words like semi-detached out there because everything is detached, you know. But anyway, it's a very nice house. Probably cost him about 200 grand or something. It costs you about 4 million quid here. But yeah, it's a nice house though.
I wish it was 200.
Yeah, more?
Seriously, the house is probably 657.
Did you buy it for that though? Because you are pretty old.
No, to be honest with you, it was 212.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, you buy it, yeah? Next comment, Josh.
Next comment from Pokeybit. Love Notorious Bob. He's so funny and humble. Can't wait for him to come on the podcast.
Interesting they use the word humble there. Because that was formerly your nickname, right? We'll get into that in a second. We'll get into the origin story, but that's interesting.
Next comment. This was a good one, lads, and I agree. I think Notorious Bob would make a fantastic guest. Such a nice guy with a great quirky sense of humour.
Did we actually mention that Bob was coming on? I don't remember even doing that.
So I was digging out these comments, and it was over a year ago we were talking about Bob on the podcast.
And we put Bob into like
and then we mentioned recently that we were we were going to try and get him on. And obviously, like, Bob and I shared DMs back and forth because he said he was going to make the trip over, you know, just help bump the channel on a little bit further.
Yeah, give me a few subs.
Push you over the line to get you to that 4 million subscribers. So it's nice of him to, like, honour his word. Like, what a man.
Is that it?
And there's some comments from the recent videos that you've done together. Mountain Hobbler says, this is when the sensei takes in the homeless orphan off the streets and trains him how to be a master eater.
It's a bit like, you know, a kickboxer, you know, takes in Jean-Claude Van Damme, the goofy idiot who, like, thinks he can fight and whatnot, but can't really, just dances drunk in a local club and he teaches him how to. It's a bit like that, yeah. But how many videos have we done together? I reckon, like, five?
Probably five or six.
Honestly, five or six.
Actually, some of my best videos. Just because I enjoy having what you guys call Banner, but just, yeah. I don't know, when I first met you, do you want me to go down this path or not?
Do we have another comment first, though?
Look,
it's fine. We can
let's go down this path, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, no, when I first met you,
Bob's here, man. You can't fart.
But listen, man, Bob and I have heard each other doing some weird stuff, man, so you don't even worry about that. Go on, Bob,
that's
sorry.
True. You were competing for Team England on a TV show, and I was Team USA, and there's four people. I didn't recognize three of them, and I recognized Beard. I had no idea who he was. Like, honestly, I had no clue. I'm like, that's the guy that tried to eat a bunch of Big Macs. I saw that video, but I didn't follow you because I didn't really follow any eaters on YouTube. And ever since then, so I went up to him, like, whatever, said hi, and we kind of hit it off. Some of the people on your team were more reserved.
And I was the only fun one from the English team, yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, and some, you know, were more, you know, outgoing. But I'm not going to, they know who they are.
Hold on, where did you land on this?
I was the good one, right, Bob? I was very approachable. Well, I made friends with, I was out drinking and stuff like that.
This must have been fucking years ago.
Oh, yeah, it was a long time ago.
So there was four of them, and I'm not saying any of them were outgoing. Okay. I'm saying some were more outgoing.
Yeah.
I went to karaoke.
You did.
Yeah. But
Team Australia, Team USA, Team Japan, we were all going out.
Yeah.
And four people from Team England, the whole team was sitting on the sofa in the lobby, just literally sitting there.
I was just waiting for the invitation, though, because I did. And you know what I heard that night? Probably one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life. Bob was doing a karaoke version of Halo. I don't know who does that song. You know, baby, I can see you, Halo.
Beyonce.
Yeah. And it was just Bob, like, drunk off his ass, just screaming the words Halo. Like, and I mean, like, literally, like, a guttural scream, like something from a horror movie.
We had a professional singer from Japan in the group.
Was that Anne?
Moeno.
Yeah.
And I'm out there, I can't karaoke, but I'm trying to get, like, an actual singer out there doing something. And everybody just sat there like, what is going on?
Just listen to Bob take over the show, yeah. We got any more?
There was one more comment.
Comments.
Yeah.
One more comment. I love the banter between you two. I must admit, I look forward to seeing the two of you again when Bid makes another trip here.
Yeah, man. It's nice, isn't it? Oh, nice to hear about it. It's very rare that people come on my channel and other people actually enjoy it. For example, Josh came on my channel and tried to eat some stuff and everyone hated it. So, like, the fact that you're on the channel and people don't mind it is
admittedly,
a great compliment.
Like, Bob's in the industry. Like, I should have never been there, you know?
Yeah, but, like, think of a more, like, people didn't really like it when Tom Aspinall came on. Admittedly, he's not an eater. People didn't really like it when James Smith came on. People didn't even really like it when Randy came on, tell you the truth, you know? So it's really an honor is what I'm saying. I'm trying to pick. It's a long-winded compliment, but
it's very rare. Even on my channel, you could be good friends with someone and get along great with them, but your fans want to see a certain thing. And because it's a different interaction.
You
look to the side versus look to the camera. And then the hate that comes out from people. Like, I don't know what they have in their life, but
I totally understand why people don't like the change in pace. I do get that. Because, like, you're there for that person. You enjoy that character that's there on that screen. So I totally understand why people do get upset by it. However, it takes a special kind of person to offer that hatred in a comment and take the time to put it there. Like, how have you found it? Obviously, start, like, being on YouTube, like, what's the process been like for you?
So I've had kind of like two startups in this journey. I didn't want to YouTube at first. I thought it was stupid. No sense. None of the top eaters did it.
Yeah.
And then what did that happen is it opened a door for these people like a Matt Stoney or a Pete, Curious Pete. They were getting all the views because no one was doing it.
Yeah.
And we could destroy these people. I'm not talking about Matt when he became peak, but they were just doing like nothing stuff and getting views. And I didn't understand that they're getting paid. So I finally went into YouTube, and that was my first kind of feet in the water. And the hatred that came out was just horrible. and you had to go through that. And then since the company approached me to do my Facebook videos,
yeah,
so they're going to edit for me and post. But that just opened up the world again. There's totally different people on Facebook. Yeah. And they are way bolder than YouTube.
Right.
I did this one video recently, and I was probably getting 50 hate comments a day. And it's a three-month-old video. And this is just like, you mother effing, blah, 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 blah.
You can swear, but just like, don't do it too much because you'll get mad.
You're the reason, like, everything is wrong on earth. Like,
yeah.
But it wasn't one person. And no. It was just every day, just influx of. So I had to get through this whole new, like what I had to do on YouTube to find my audience, the people that mainly support you, couple hatred, to now I'm like, I'm more up to like 98% hatred, yeah, 2% support.
Facebook's a brutal platform. I mean, you've got like old people, like my granddad, like he shares, you know, lost dog pictures from Ecuador thinking it's going to help. Like he'll comment on stupid shit, or like thinking there's just all the anonymity. It's like, it's a weird place, his Facebook. Yeah,
like I'm the worst racist for eating sushi with a fork. Like that's supposedly like.
That's what somebody said to you.
No, I'm like, really?
Oh, right. Okay,
because I'm like,
I was going to say, George Clipless, Bob says he is racist.
No, no. Sure. It's like cultural appropriation. Like, yeah. How do you insult a whole, you know, section of people in the world?
Yeah.
Like what? Like, and the thing is, like, I understand you're supposed to eat it with chopsticks or your hands.
Yeah.
But when I eat with hands, I fast forward my videos. It looks ridiculously fast. It just looks like I'm just doing that. So the fork is a little bit slower. And the chopsticks.
I know what you were thinking then.
Reminded me of Sister Beard.
Yeah, Facebook is a weird place, man. The thing about Facebook is that YouTube is like, you say it's your, that's where people predominantly, okay, your videos get suggested, but predominantly it's your audience coming back, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Facebook, it's a whole, because Facebook are trying to aggressively get into the video space. They're showing your video to basically everyone, and everyone's going to have an opinion. Usually people over the age of like 40 that have nothing better to do and have probably slightly more conservative values. But who cares, right? The risk of summarizing that too early. Do we have actual talking points today?
Well, I figured you'd be leading this charge. Yeah. Good. I do have talking points, but I'd rather you.
Well, I plan to. Don't worry about it. I just didn't really write anything down. But I wanted to know the most interesting part. Like Bob talks about YouTube. Obviously, he's an accomplished YouTuber. But the most interesting part is that Bob actually comes from the scene of the golden age of Major League Eating, right? When competitive eating first kind of like became huge. It's kind of tapered off now. Nobody really cares. But like actual like contests, when there were loads of contests on TV and stuff. So I've heard the story before, but do you want to give us like an abridged version of like how you got into competitive eating in terms of like doing contests and stuff like that?
Well, I saw Kobe on TV when he did 50.
That's Kobayashi. Google him if you don't know who he is.
So, yeah. And then I was like, I could do that. Like what I call it a frat guy mentality. So we have frats in college and they used to be, you know, these tough jocks that, you know, I was never in a frat, but that mentality, you can just do anything because you're young and dumb. I could do that. And then I went out and I was like, I finished like third against a bunch of pros and I did horrible. Like I did like...
Just for clarity, 50 what? Like you said... You
50 out. Hot dogs.
All right, okay. Right.
So with 50 hot dogs with a bun. So you know what I talk about, Nathan's?
Yeah.
So like, shorthand eater speak could be like 50. It's like 50 hot dogs and buns.
Okay, right, yeah.
Yeah.
And the record at the time was like 25 or 26. So he came in and did 50.
That was the big sea change, wasn't it? Because like the Nathan's contest has been around for, there's like a lot of it's myth, right? But the Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest, he's the biggest eating contest on earth. You got 35,000 people in the crowd, a couple million watching at home on the 4th of July. That contest has been around a long time. And for the longest time, it was like, if I went back in time 25 years, I could win it, right? Because they would win it with 30, 28 kind of thing.
And that was in 12 minutes too.
Yeah. And then the Kobayashi came along, right? It was this Japanese guy. And, he did 50, right? And everyone said 50 was impossible. And kind of from there on, things got gradually more ridiculous, right?
So I saw him and I went to a contest and I'm like, I'm going to dunk because that's what this guy did. And I got too scared to dunk because everybody was introduced as, which I didn't get it at the time, was like stick. The baked bean eating champion of the world, the french fry eating champion of the world. I'm going up against all these, I think, world champions. And you realize that a lot of these titles are made up on the spot.
Bob, you said that too early because I've got like here, like world records. We'll get into the salmon chowder one because that's one that you're known for. stick around for that. But Skyline Chili, ate 14 pounds of that. Roast beef sliders, 37 of those in like 10 minutes or something. Cristal hamburgers. So you like world champion at loads of these things. And like the records page, your records page on Wikipedia is very long. Mine is non-existent. I don't have that stub. But
I thought I was competing against those guys. I finished third, ate like 12 hot dogs, 12 minutes, which is horrible.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
And then what happened is then we started training and certain people came on the scene like Joey, Chestnut, Pat Bertoletti. To a little bit lesser extent, like a Tim Janis, but Sonia Thomas. There was a group of people that could actually eat, like decent eaters, and you'd end up bumping into each other. So my proud records are the ones where I went to these contests and beat those people. Now there's, you know, some people out there that have titles and records, but you know, they got flown out on a Wednesday to do this contest because the sponsor wanted, you know, Joe Blow to be in the contest. And like, I personally was locked out of many contests.
Yeah.
There's a New York contest. I'm like, hey, I want to get in. And I knew it was a setup contest. Like, cause one top eater was in it. It was all like JV eaters.
Yeah.
And that person already was booked on a TV show the next morning.
Yeah.
Because they were going to be the champion for the sponsor who was then going to get on TV. Whoa. So that sponsor wanted that person on TV. So I'm like, I really bulled my way into that contest. I knew I was going to get turned down. So then they flew me to another contest to make up for me not getting into that contest because I was going to win the contest.
Yeah.
And that's happened a bunch of times. I did a contest. It was rib sandwich. We get there and it was Sonia Thomas's birthday the next day. Sonia Thomas was like the top eater out there.
Yeah, she's like one of the best female eaters, right, of all time, right? She's kind of like folklore in eating because she had loads of like records and whatnot, and she was actually pretty good.
It was a total setup for her, but some top eaters like a Tim Janis came, I came, and I knew I was going to win the contest. Like, I know you don't know this, but like if I did what I had to do, I was going to win. And I remember going to the sponsor, and I knew they were there to kiss Sonia's butt.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave her a birthday gift. The whole thing was about Sonia. And she's like, oh, hi, Tim. And I'm like, no, I'm Bob. I'm the guy that's going to win the contest. And it's Shoudt for the check. Because they put a C in my name all the time. And she just looks at me like, what? And I won the contest easily. Boom. Last year, the contest. Never happened again. So a lot of my titles are last year, the contest. Wow. Because I'm not the guy you want in the media.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she was a 105-pound woman. And I ended up getting a lot of media because I would be standing next to her and, like, look at her versus this big dude. Because I probably ate when I started in the 360s. So I was a really big guy. And, you know, when I would win, they're like, I don't want this guy. So I mean, I'm not saying it was rigged against me, but my big, big, big things are ones I had to qualify for, and I beat, like, the Joey, the Pat. Like, if Tim or Sonia were there, they're my most prized wins because I know it's a legit win.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you've been in contests. Like, did
a few
certain contests, did Joey, Jeff show up with Matt and Nick and Mickey? And like, the whole gang doesn't show up at contests all the time.
The best ones are where they do, but it's very rare.
But so if you had a title, I'm not saying you're not the champ, but if all the top people above you aren't there, it's not as, when you're looking back at your resume, that's not like your big win.
Yeah.
Your big win is when everybody shows up and you won.
I think as well, but like back then, the thing I find interesting is because like there's a very distinct difference when I turn up to like, you know, contests or whatnot, and it's, you know, for the social part of it, like party afterwards or you're talking before, because you can tell like the, you know, like the legitimate like contest, people like Joey or you or Pat or whatever. I don't want to say like there's a negativity towards people that just do YouTube videos, right? But it's almost like you're not expected to be there, right? Because you guys back in the day, to win, to be a professional eater, you had to win, right? Because you were basically eating free lunch, right? You were trying to win cash money at contests, right? So it's a totally different thing, but like to eat stuff on YouTube for entertainment, that's how you earn your money. It's not the same as, imagine you got to train to try and win like $5,000 or whatever.
I did a lot of training, a ton of training. So when I would go to a contest, I was trying to get the payoff from that training. And some people are there for the experience.
Yeah.
They're just going to do this contest. Other people are regional eaters. and they just do anything like in that state or the tri-state area. And then you have your national eaters that are, we generally call like a JV eater, like someone who's a decent eater, but they're not a threat to win when all the heavy hitters show up.
Is that like me?
And then, well, you know, I mean, there's different levels.
What does JV stand for?
Well, junior varsity. So we have in high school.
We're getting into American slang now.
Like your first team is your varsity. And then JV is like generally your younger people starting out.
Yeah.
They're like the JV. So like, I know when I met you, I was so much more advanced than you, but I've been doing it for so many more years. I was you back in the day. I did 12 hot dogs in 12 minutes. You never did 12 hot dogs in 10.
I've never been that bad, no.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's, I can spot somebody and go, okay, they have what it takes. If they train, they're going to get better. But you can also see people that we call it, like my dad was a track coach, heart. Or it's a lot of sports. Like you can see they don't have the heart when the going gets tough. You know they're going to shut down, or they're going to find an excuse, or they're going to say, I'm getting flavor fatigue.
I know what you're going to say. That sounds like Tom Aspinall.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about me every time I come back.
No, it's like there's, yeah. They say, oh, like the crowd was distracting me. Oh, my count, George was saying my count was off.
You know what's crazy, right? It's like that this... especially being like British, that this even exists. So like, because the way that like you're describing that, it's like a fighter getting ready for a fight camp to then go win the fight to win the purse. And that's exactly how you're describing it. You're training to get turn up to the event and win the purse, because all of your work has led up to that point, right?
Probably the best example of that was like you doing, I don't want to cut you off, Josh, but like when you did the wing bowl, you do like a training series for that wing bowl years ago now. Yeah. Honestly, it was like 2019 or 18. It must have been the one that you won, right? But like that, because that was an independent contest, right? It wasn't major league eating.
Right.
But it was a huge payout, right? You got like a car or something?
So it was big. So the thing is, I was with major league eating. I've had so many great experiences with them. It's incredible. So many great experiences. But I feel like I ran my course. When you win Nathan's, the biggest purse in major league eating, you win $10,000.
That's for the winner of Nathan's.
Right. But there's also a guy named Joey Chestnut you have to beat.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to beat him. But let's just say I beat him. I won $10,000. There was a local contest to me, which was an independent contest. So I couldn't be in major league eating and do this wing eating contest. Yeah. Because of the scenarios, I left major league eating to do this one wing contest. And I won a brand new car 2 years in a row. And then I won a third car the third year. But that was $50,000 overall purse just for that third year. And that was the largest confirmed purse that I've ever been able to track down in competitive eating. There's a rumor Kobayashi won more in a contest. There's no proof to that. This was a qualifying contest. You had to qualify to get into it. Everything was on the record. Everybody knows the contest existed. So I won 50 grand. Whoa. One contest. I would have had to win Nathan's five consecutive years, which I would not win one of the years. Yeah. So for me, it was a huge payday that it made sense for me to leap outside of MLA. But to be honest with you, in my opinion, if you want to be a competitive eater, which is different than a YouTube eater, if you want to be a competitive eater, you have to be a major league eater at some point in your career, only because for some ridiculous reason, this hot dog contest is the biggest thing going. I don't agree with it because I don't think the qualification is anywhere near as good as something called the Crystal Hamburger Contest. It was much tougher qualifiers. There was only like 10 qualifiers versus Nathan's. They used to be up to 20 qualifiers. So it was much easier to get to Nathan's. So if you won Crystals or even qualified for the finals of Crystals, because it wasn't split men's and women's, there was like 10 spots for everybody and you had to win and you were bumping up and qualifying against other top eaters. So that to me is the biggest thing. Now I've done well, I didn't win that. I was finished second in that contest. But like you had to win a 2 minute qualifier and then win an 8 minute qualifier to then get to the finals. So it was multiple rounds to get there.
So is it frowned upon in like the eating community that like Adam gets a ticket to Nathan's?
I get a pass though, because like I'm signed with them though, right?
Yeah, no, not in like, it's not a dig, but if there's people that are if people are in to qualify to get there.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Like, is there a lot of like, well, why is he here? You know, like, why is Adam here?
And generally, yes. Yeah. There's that hard feeling.
Yeah.
But anybody who's been around the game for long enough, has seen it happen every year.
Right, okay, yeah.
And it wasn't even eaters. Like, Adam, there's nothing against Adam, but he's at least an eater.
Yeah.
Like, they had this guy, William Refrigerator Perry. He was a football player, but he was a very big character football player. He gets in, eats three hot dogs, and stops eating in the contest. That ticked a lot of people off. At least go eat 10 and quit, not quit 2 minutes in the contest or whatever. Because that took up a space from someone 100%. Trying to get in. But my point is, there are still 20 other seats that could have been earned, and there's still tons more seats that are getting earned, even with international exemptions for people at this year's contest, than this Crystal contest. And I know that was I was better at the Crystals, but like to me, when you go to a picnic in the United States, kids eat hot dogs, the grown-ups eat hamburgers. So to me, the hot hamburger contest was where it's at.
That's like a, it's like a brand of, I didn't know this actually back then, but that Cristal's like a
it's a like brand a White Castle. It's so like the, a small. The oldest fast food in the United States is White Castle.
Yeah.
From that Howard and Kumar go to White Castle. I don't know if you see that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the second oldest fast food is Crystal. It's a very similar burger.
Yeah. I went there one time when I was in, I can't remember where it was.
That'd be down south.
Yeah, it was, I think it was Georgia maybe. But I was like underwhelmed by them. But it looks like a cool contest though.
Can I just say, like, when you would, so you've done all these competitions, you're earning smaller purses, like maybe a couple of thousand, 5,000, 10,000 is the biggest in Major League eating. But then you go and win 50 grand on the third, so like two cars plus then 50 grand. Like, how did it feel to win that?
Okay, so
you should describe as well, Bob, like the whole like wing bowl, like you would love it, like the, cause it's on a stadium, right?
Yeah, so it's wing bowl's another, it's a fluky event. I'm a local person, so I was required to build my own float.
That floats to enter.
And when I say a float, like I can ride in on it.
Oh yeah, like a parade.
It's fucking right. Huge, man. Like it's like a massive. Is it a football but stadium or baseball?
It's inside a hockey rink.
Right.
It takes place at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's sold out. It's full of drunk people. It's incredible.
At 6 a.m.
It's sold out. So it's like 19,000 people at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Shit.
But I have to bring my float to the stadium between like 12 midnight and 2 a.m. And then I have to somehow get back to the stadium by 5 to wait to compete because the show starts at 6. So if you're a local eater, you're hosed. Like you're up.
Yeah.
Like you're not, there's no sleep and you're, it's stressing getting the float. You need to get a trailer to get your float down, whatever. And the out of towners, they would give out of town like exemptions and allow these people to qualify, like Pat Borletti from Chicago. They fly him in, put him up in a hotel next to the stadium, build his float for him. So he just has to go over there at 5 and walk in and not care about this float.
Yeah.
Where I was local, I had to do all the stuff myself. So there was two contests. There's a local contest and an overall contest. I got hurt in the overall contest because I was up stressing. And trust me, you don't really sleep from 2 to 5 because if you oversleep, you miss the contest.
Yeah.
So I didn't really sleep even then. But the cool thing was there was also a local contest. And I was the best local. And that got me a car 2 years in a row. So I didn't have to beat Pat. Molly was in the contest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And Joey Chestnut wasn't in the contest because he was MLE. Jeff wasn't in the contest. So any MLE eater wasn't in there. Yeah. So the field I was beating was not necessarily the most talented field. So I won local, and then I finally won overall. Now, my overall is worth just as much as Joey Chestnut's overall when he won his. He was in what was called a virgin wing bowl. Anybody that had ever competed in wing bowl ever was not allowed in that wing bowl. So he only went up against one other pro and against people that had never competed before.
Yeah.
Mine, I caught an incredible break. If you had ever won wing bowl before, you couldn't compete. So that meant, like, I think Pat or Molly had won the year before. They traded off back and forth the two previous years. They weren't allowed in. So I wasn't going up against any champ, but I was still going up against people that were like a bunch of top fives from over the past 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not saying I beat everybody that was the great wing eater in the world, but I was the best that day, the people that showed up.
How many wings did you eat then?
So there's... It's a very questionable scoring.
Oh shit!
But just say the official one because like everyone gets the same. It sounds high, but
there's two wing numbers. There's wings, what I'm going to call addressed. So how many I put up to my mouth and taken a bite off of?
Yeah.
Then they go onto a plate they look at the meat on the plate. They don't look at the bones. They look at the meat and say, that's about 3 wings worth of meat. So they take a deduction. They'll hit a 3 on their chest.
Yeah.
And so it'll be 20 minus 3. I got a 17.
Yeah.
On that plate. So I went through over 500 wings, but I got credit for 409 wings.
So then,
that's still adaptable. They're little,
so
right?
They, but I mean,
that's
so well. Yeah, they get these eggs in the embryo, like in the egg. These chickens, and they pull off their wings in the egg. That's how small these wings are. Which they're the tiniest wings. You can't buy these wings anywhere. I don't know where they found these.
I feel like this is a setup. Like, I feel like this is like an insider joke for you. It's like mechanics when they're like, go get me a glass hammer, get me some tartan paint, go get me a bubble for my spirit level. You're telling me that the bones are taken out.
No,
fucking.
But if you
not buying it. Look, he's laughing in the corner.
you can't find these wings anywhere because nobody grows a chicken for the wing. They grow for the breast.
Yeah.
Right. And they want the breast to grow big enough to, and then the wings are cut off and sold. So these are so tiny, but it makes it easier for the volume of meat. But when my finger is trying to get the meat off the smallest wings you ever saw is tough. Do I honestly think I actually ate 409 wings? I don't think so.
Can you eat the bone if it's that small?
So there was a story where Joey...
I've told this story before.
Joey had won the year before.
Yeah.
He had set the all-time wing ball record. Before the contest, we were told Pat Bertoletti was going to win overall, and I was going to win local. That's the story that came down. And we had that was when it was MLE involved. We had the MLE commissioner on stage. Joey qualified. There was rounds. So the next year, he qualified 10th place out of 10, even though he destroyed the record the year before. The commissioner says, you know, I want to see the numbers in the book. And the radio station running it just shut the book and said, wing bowl doesn't continue until you're off the stage. So he's like, what are you talking about? I'm the commissioner. I'm judging this. Like, we don't care. It's our radio show. Until you're physically off the stage, the show stops. We're just going to run ads. So the commissioner leaves the stage. They open their book and they had Joey there. So Joey knew he was getting hosed. Then he proceeds to eat like 3 whole chicken wings per plate of 20. You're giving plates of 20. So every time he gets a plate of 20, he takes like 3, just swallows them. And then when he puts the plate forward, they're still looking for meat. They're not counting any bones. So they go, okay, there's only so much meat. Well, obviously there's a whole 3, the meat's gone. So I end up somehow, I don't even qualify for the final round. Joey catches up to Pat because they couldn't deny, like he was just eating, like it would appear to be lightning fast because he was swallowing them whole. So he wins. We're going across the street to this after party. And I mean, I remember this clear as day. I'm walking next to him. He's like, Bob, man, I don't feel good. I was swallowing a wing. I was like, get that, whatever. You know what I mean? And like, Joey, if you told me if I swallow one wing, you guarantee me I would win the wing bowl contest, I would really think about that. Like whether I even wanted to do that. He goes, no, I'm like, whatever you did. He goes, I got to bring him up. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, something doesn't feel right. And I'm like, huh? And he just, look, as we're walking, whole chicken wings come out of his mouth and they hit the ground. I'm like, they look just like what I just ate on stage. Like that's the whole chicken wing. Like there's no meat off that.
He's like that cat is a different
breed. I'm like,
breed.
What did you do that? And he wasn't throwing up. He just felt something wrong and he just went like, boop.
Yeah.
And we just continued walking like nothing happened. And I'm like, well, I'm confused. Like, you can't really throw up chicken wings because you can't adjust the bone to want to go straight.
Yeah, yeah.
And you also can't keep them in you. And he's just walking along like, yeah, let's just go to the party. So he processed chicken. Apparently, at least he doesn't die from eating chicken wings.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Sorry to interrupt this episode. I want to take a few seconds just to tell you about our Patreon. If you can support us on Patreon, we have got early access to every episode like this one and future guest episodes that are coming up. We've got some big names in the pipeline. You get exclusive behind-the-scenes clips from, like, when Adam's travelling around the world or we're just chatting shit in the studio. Each episode, we record a Patreon-only section, which is a little bit less PG than the actual full episodes. You guys can interact with us and help us steer this sinking ship and tell us what you want to hear on this podcast. You can get all this for less than the price of a pint, and it saves us from having to flog some ball shavers. So if you can, support us on Patreon. Back to the episode.
That makes sense, because Joey's just... I don't know if he's an alien, but there's definitely something not wrong, right with that guy. There's something definitely not right with him, man. And that's not... I know what you mean. Like, that guy, like... He's the one guy I know that, without question, treats eating like it is 100% a sport. Everyone else has, like, misgivings about it.
Because he trained... I trained... Like, I've been in that contest. I've not made it out of rounds. And you have your judge in front of you. And, like, they'll clear seats, and you move up a row as they narrow the field. Joe's like, hey, Bob, where are they sitting you? I'm like, I didn't qualify. He goes, what are you talking about? Like, I just scored. Like, you have way more than... I put in a much bigger score than all those people on that board up there. Could you tell them that? Like, because when I tell them that... So all, the scoring is all... is so fuzzy. And I'll give you one more example.
Is this like a problem with the judging then? So, like, obviously you guys take it super serious, then judges, they're like pulling judges out. It's like, there's a guy sat over there, like, having a beer. Do you fancy being a judge at this wing contest, mate?
Well, no, so they had the judges, and I think the judging is accurate.
Okay.
I think the adding, they might have people that don't add as good as other
maths,
people.
Yeah, yeah.
That, I mean, I'm not going to say that it's specific, but I'm going to say that the adding kind of gets fuzzy. Because so I won.
Who knew there was so much like this underground like world of competitive?
I won Wing Bowl 25. The last Wing Bowl was Wing Bowl 26. So I'm the defending champion. And I know people that were in the radio station for two meetings, the last two meetings before the show. And they said, Molly is going to do over 500 wings. And it wasn't like a prediction that, you know, we just really feel that. Now, mind you, when Kobe did it, like, Joey won with 202. Kobe won with, like, 300-some. Yeah. I do 409. I think Molly's record was, like, 425 or so-ish, maybe 430. I'll give her 435. So to go up 65 wings in 30 minutes, that's two extra wings a minute, cleaned. And they just... They weren't, I'm going to say, it seemed like, it seemed like they weren't predicting she was going to do 500 wings. It seemed like they knew
she was going to do 500 wings. So they had like, that was the agenda that they wanted to do.
Now, I was in the contest. Who ate the most wings? Molly did. I'm not saying anything about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying there's always a competition between leagues. And this has been an old contest. That was 26 years. You know, they were with MLE and not. And I think that MLE wants their wing numbers high to say they eat more than Wing Bowl. And Wing Bowl wanted their numbers high to say they eat more. Because I was in an MLE contest. Good luck finding the results of that contest anywhere.
I know that, like, some of the MLE ones are wrong, man.
No, I mean, you won't find even the results of this contest.
Yeah.
They were announced on stage. And squash, never posted anywhere. I finished second with, like, I think Pat ate like 14 pounds and I ate like 12 pounds. And this is like in 10 minutes. It's just of meat, not of whole things. And, you know, you're counting the bone. It's just no, it just doesn't happen. And they realized that the numbers were just, and the sponsor provided the numbers. They just, like, totally, I don't know where they got their numbers from, but the Shays knew that this can't be posted.
This is mad, this. I want to go down this rabbit hole of
Well, it's mad because, like, the English people were like, what the fuck are they? I've had to swear there, Judge, sorry. Like, what is this? But, like, in America, it's like, especially, like, back then, right? Like, when the Cristal thing was on, like, Wing Bowl, that thing, what was the thing on TV? Glutton Bowl or something? Mm. There was, like, it was really popular then, right?
It was huge.
They just didn't move with, like, this, you know, social media, because it would still be, like, really popular now, because there's an appetite for it in America. So in America, people... There are, like, fans, but not really in the same that you would follow, like, football or, like, rugby or tennis or whatever. But there are people that love it, right? And the contests are huge. Like, even poutine that I did was a few thousand people. It's like it's a big contest. Yeah. And there are the ones that are a big deal. So I get
the... Look at this, the Wing Bowl champion ring. I thought, like, a Super Bowl ring. Obviously, it's like a hybrid of it, right?
I wear it for YouTube now, but this allegedly was valued at $7,500. And so I had to pay tax on this because...
Yeah, well, you'd be careful getting out of Wakefield with that, man.
It cost me about $2,500 to get this ring. Most people would just turn it down.
That's how much the dust caps cost on Adam's new car. Don't talk about that.
I didn't get that car for free, I'll tell you that much.
But no, I was in a good age of competitive eating. I'm so fortunate because we had a bump into each other and it got so big that sometimes there was three good contests the exact same day. And then like I was good friends and I'm still good friends with Pat and Joey, but like, where are you going? And I wasn't like I was ducking them, but like, well, I got a cheap flight to over here. So I'm going here. I don't care who shows up because it's, you know, way better deal. Cause I wasn't getting flown. Pat wasn't getting flown. Like, almost nobody gets flown. There are some eaters that got flown a lot and they got some titles that way because they were like based out of New York and, you know, they were connected to the Shays. They were the golden child, say.
Shays are a bit like, I'm not really into wrestling, but Shays are a bit like, you know, the
Vince McMahon.
They're like that, right? They're like the evil kind of overlook. I'm not saying they're evil, but they kind of, there's like a bit of an evil, they're kind of involved. And what I mean is that they're kind of like characters, right? That are involved in a sense, but they also actually own it.
I'm pretty sure that Vince McMahon's like going to jail or something at the minute.
Is
like,
he? Yeah. I don't think they're criminals. I don't give a fuck anyway. They didn't invite me back this year, so like, fuck them.
I don't know how they wouldn't invite you back. That doesn't make sense.
It's because I didn't do that thing in England that they wanted me to do. Punks.
But listen, they have a business. They're trying to protect their business. I get it. So they don't want eaters going out there and questioning things. They've told us so many times they didn't even care about the numbers. They didn't even want the numbers to be high. So they changed the contest, the hot dog contest, from 12 minutes to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
My thinking is because Kobayashi just brought up such a huge quantity of food. It was amazing the one year. He brought up basically a loaf of bread.
Are you talking about him throwing up?
Yeah. This is on camera.
Well, on camera, he threw up on camera.
On camera during the contest. Oh. And Pat, there's a picture of Pat pointing to pointing to it. And this is one of the greatest things I ever saw. So I'm like, I look over.
Find me this picture, Jordan.
Good luck finding that picture because that is an awesome picture, but it's hard to find. The greatest thing I ever saw anyone do is Kobe take this like small loaf of bread and just get it all back in and down. And then the next year at the contest, it used to be the judge could disqualify you. So the judge is like, Kobe just lost it. And it was decided like, well, that's Kobayashi. If Joey or Kobe does that, that's legal.
Yeah, I feel like
so the rules are, it's up now, it was then up from the judges to the Shays to make the call. And it should have some type of authority versus some celebrity judge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, deciding what level. But that was so insane.
You got it.
Like, eating these hot dogs is so disgusting. I can't tell whether he's being sick or he's just trying to eat the bread that's been dipped in the water. Like, there's this picture, but I think that could be like...
That's probably just ending, man.
That could be like... Yeah, that could be the action shot.
He's like holding it. And it was a great catch, but even better, like eat...
Have you seen the one of Dave Brunelli? Somebody made it into a GIF on the internet. I don't know what contest it is, right? But you know Dave, right?
Yeah.
We both know Dave Brunelli, right? He was a boxer, right? And he did some like eating like independently. And I've done a couple of contests with him, so he must have done loads, right? And there's this one contest where I don't know what he's eating, right? But he yaks midway through the contest. He's like, but he catches it. There's a really, we need to get this one because he catches it midair, re-swallows it. But some like guy that I don't know, like probably just an amateur or whatever, who's like four down from him, the table ender, sees it. And pukes because he's seen Dave catch the thing and keep it. If you've not seen that, I need to show it to you. Wayne sent it to me one time.
I saw it. Dave's incredible, maybe because he was a pro boxer. But when I won Wing Bowl, he was in second place. We had a 2-minute final round. I had a significant lead on him, and I wanted to get to 400 because if you're close, like it sounds better, you ate 400 or something than 300. I'm like, Dave, I feel good. Like, I'm going to get to 400. I'm just letting you know this. Because if he finished without getting sick, he won a motorcycle. I'm like, you do what you want to do. I know you want to try to win this, but I'm telling you, I'm going to win this. I already have a huge lead on you, and I feel good right now. I know I have stuff left. And he tried to go after me. I was like, you're going to lose this freaking motorcycle, dude. And luckily he stopped because he's known for pushing himself to the absolute limit and then losing it. Because some eaters will just back off way too early.
Yeah.
There's that fine line where you need to push you know.
Yes, that's me at tamales, man.
It's you every time you come back from Nathan's. You go to Nathan's.
No, no, Nathan's. I try hard. I just can't. I'm just crap at them.
All right.
Like, okay. I'll admit that. I'm just shit at that. But like, it's, some of them, like, I like tamales or like ones where you, oysters was another one. You know, where you feel like you're gonna throw up. Like, I'm not throwing up on stage, man. Like, I'd rather just not do well.
I've done hundreds of contests. Never thrown up on stage. Never thrown up during an eating challenge. I've definitely gotten sick after, especially anything with like I did that salmon chowder. If you do an immense amount of ice cream,
yeah, we have to just
eventually that lactose.
Well, yeah, eats at you. That was a question of mine. Like, what is the sort of worst repercussions you've had from your career in this? Like, you know, like getting sick afterwards or like getting ill. Or
extreme sugar is the worst. Like shoe fly pie, which you probably don't even understand. It's a very very sugary.
Sounds made
pie.
Up. That's like some shit from Harry Potter. Shoe fly
yeah,
pie.
It is, yeah.
But wait, before you mention this, we need to mention this real quick because I meant to mention in the intro, right? But Bob just mentioned salmon chowder there, which is what, like, in the eating scene he's most known for, because that's the record for the most food ever eaten by a person in a contest, right?
Most food, well, now it's been, I think it's been passed in a longer contest.
All right. Was this a 10-minute one?
So that was a six-minute contest.
Six? It's 23.4 pounds.
And that was using a soup spoon, because I brought my own spoon. You're allowed to bring your own spoon, so I brought a serving spoon, which was already okay by George. And a couple of eaters complained, and so I had to go back to a regular soup spoon you would use. So it was just, and I wish, I was told it was a 5-minute contest, so I didn't train for that contest because there's only so much you can eat in 5 minutes.
Is salmon chowder like clam chowder? Is it like a thick soup?
A creamy soup.
Like a creamy thick soup.
The real story is, the movie was called The Slammin' Salmon.
Okay.
They asked for an eating contest. So they're like, okay, we gotta do salmon chowder. The restaurant couldn't make salmon chowder, so it was some other type of chowder. So I don't know what salmon chowder tastes like. I've probably never had it in my life. But I have the record for eating the most salmon chowder.
Yeah.
So it's like a
seafood like, special chowder.
I'm trying to like, yeah, for the British like audience that might never have seen clam chowder.
Clam,
like,
chowder.
Yeah, yeah.
That like whitey
so
broth.
If you're English and you've never seen it, it's almost like a thick soup, right?
Creamy,
like,
fishy,
yeah,
soup.
Yeah.
Yes. Creamy, fishy soup. And some contests, things go well. That contest was just brutal for everyone. Because once you had all that in you, you're like, oh, good, we're done. Yeah, that sensation, like when you stop, you're like, okay, I'm done. I can breathe again. And
24 pounds, right?
Yeah, so this is like almost 24 pounds.
I would literally would die.
That's like, what's that, 12 kilos? Yeah, I did, thereabouts.
I did 16 at poutine,
yeah,
right? And I thought I was going to die after that, man. Like 23.5 pounds is insane, man.
But if I were to train, that probably would have been at least 26.
Jeez.
Because I figured I could only fit so much in 5 minutes. And then when it's total 6 minutes, I'm like, I would have trained differently. But yeah, everybody was brutal. I mean, Badlands just made it out of the cab. Like I had a tour of restrooms in New York City. Like every time you thought you were good, like, where, like, I need to know where the next restaurant is.
You know what's quite funny? Like, I've been doing a couple of trips with Adam now, like how disgusting it is after a food challenge, seeing what he's like. Because he turns up hangry. We get the video done afterwards. He's like, I can't do this anymore, boys. I need to retire.
Only
and then he'll spend 25 minutes shitting in the toilets. And then we'll be heading back. He's like, all right, I'm good now, boys. He'll buy 2 liters of Diet Coke. Down that, and he's like, lads, I need to shit again. Because, like, it's got to be pushed out for the rest of it to go down.
He's saying that because, like, the second video from Germany, I have to throw my underwear.
Oh, he actually pooed his pants.
I had an accident. A senior moment. You're probably well aware of how it goes now, Bob, at your age. But I had to throw them out of the bathroom, like, went out onto the street. I had to throw them. Right, I couldn't, like, take my Rimeys out with poo in them. So I had to throw them out the window. But then, obviously, because I'm a gent, I collected them on our way out.
And it's only because the window that he threw him out of was at the entrance to the restaurant. So he walks out and there's these shitty knickers on the floor.
He's like, you're going to leave it in the video? I'm like, no, I'll get demonetized. But we left it pixelated, I think, in the end card.
Like, I don't know. I can't remember. But aside from, you know, pooing your pants, like, what was the worst repercussions then from eating like large quantities and like health-wise, or like how you felt afterwards? Like, what's the worst you've had?
Pretty much every Nathan's contest.
Yeah.
It was just the absolute worst. The worst of the worst. Because I wouldn't eat for days ahead of time, like would not eat. So maybe I would do a yogurt. The contest was Saturday, Thursday morning, like right or when I woke up. Wow. And I had 0 calories through the contest, which is generally, you know, noon, what, 12:40 or whatever, on Saturday. And because my whole entire, like, digestive system had been cleaned out, like, I had nothing in me, it was just able to just get caught. And for 3 days, and this was year after year after year after year, 3 days, I could just feel it slowly move, like it going through my intestines. And then I knew on the third day that I would finally pass these, but it would just be brutal. And it's like, in my mind, if you see a cartoon or a movie where the witch is over the stove or the fire and she's got that pot going, and you see that the stuff bubbling out, that's what my stomach felt like. And it was nothing else. And it has to do with the seasoning. Like, if you eat a Nathan's hot dog, there's nothing wrong with it. You're going to eat it. It tastes great. But when you're dunking in cups and you see the grease on all your dunk cups, like, you're like,
making me relive
it. What's going on? And then, like, it's like a garlicky, it's like a heavy seasoning that when you eat volumes, it just is brutal.
Yeah, that's it was amazing to me the first year I went to Nathan's how many people did not eat, right? And like, how many people, like, I remember the last year I did it, actually, they were all laughing at me on the bus because I was eating, like, you know, candy on the bus because you need something for energy. I can't, like, but I remember talking to Matt, you know, Stoney, and I was talking to, like, Juan and, like, a couple of the other guys, and they're all like, I think I'd eaten like a salad that night, and they're like, what the fuck are you doing, man? They're like, what, how are you eating? I'm like, you can't eat on an empty stomach, man. Like, I need something for energy. And they're all like, well, like, the last solid meal I ate was like 4 days ago. I'm like, are you guys fucking insane?
And last year there was a storm, right, where you were just sat in that tent for 4 more hours.
I nearly left because they let the women go, right? And they were like, if the women are going, because they'd done the contest, right, they were like, if you want to get back on the bus, we can't keep the buses. Well, you know, the limos.
It's, and I'm like, Titanic.
So he's like, if anyone wants to go, and they meant like the friends and family, you know, back to the hotel. And I'm like, Mikey, can I go? And he just looks at me. He's like, if any of you want to be losers, like Beard over there, you can take the bus. And I'm like, look, man, yeah, I'm getting on that bus, right? Unless you announce in the next 5 minutes that's happening. And looking back after about 3 minutes, they're like, yeah, we're doing the contest. But I was so like, and I'd eaten. I was looking at Jeff. Jeff looked like he was going to fucking pass out. I'm looking at him and he's just like,
I would be desperate, honestly, because mentally, you prepared all this. So I never tried to win that contest. I know this is going to sound like a cop out, but like, I saw Kobe eat 50. I did like 12 the next year. Like, so I'm going to double my number, and he's still double me, and he's going to be better. And Joey was always so much better. So I would try to present myself okay, but still, like, I at 12:40 when you usually eat, like, I would want to eat. Like, otherwise, then your mind just starts going like, man, I haven't eaten in freaking days. And
that's why they get the like, I thought it was mad as well. The first year I went, you know, it was at the bar, because you came, remember? It was like you and there was Kobuchi was there as well.
Yeah.
And they had pizzas. They had shitloads of pizzas that were ordered for. It was like a private party.
Oh, yeah.
And I got there and I said to Badlands, I'm like, Badlands, why the fuck are there pizzas? And he's like, come on, Beard. He's saying something like, you know, we eat, man. And I'm like, we just, like, I ate fucking, whatever, I ate 30 hot dogs. Like, all right, I don't know what's going on with Joey, but like, most of us ate 30 or less, right? The most of the field ate 30 or less. And we don't want to eat, man. So, like, why the pizzas? But, like, it's because, like, everyone's gone so long without food. It's a bit like, you know, like bodybuilders. They're, like, they're still hungry after eating. Because you only eat for 10 minutes.
Yep.
And you can't. The thing with hot dogs is because it's, like, it is a technique food, right? I'm never full after hot dogs, right? So I get it. But, like, I thought it was mad, like, the people that have done, like 50 are still eating. And
it took me a while of discipline because, like you're saying, that doesn't count as eating in your mind. And then you want to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
And the times I did eat, it just added to this blockage, like this dam of food inside my stomach, which made it even worse because then I would have, like, say, pizza on top or whatever. So it took me years to figure out what to do. And then, you know, I would figure out how to make it the 3 days would never shorten, but not to be as horrible as they were. But so I never looked forward to that contest. I couldn't stand that contest. It was the worst contest on earth because only because once they got the men's and the women's contest, like, I competed when it was one contest.
Yeah.
So we all got in and we all ate at the same time. Fair's fair, right? Now they broke it down to men's and women's. But for whatever reason, the men have to leave the hotel at the same time the women leave the hotel.
Yeah.
So whatever prep you're trying to do is now so far ahead of when you would normally do your prep because you're not at the hotel anymore. So you just ride over the women and you just sit around and sit around and sit around. They get to go an hour before you do. So but their schedule is such, if you know how do you prepare for competitive eating, that they're on their schedule.
Yeah.
And they're ready to go. So the contest last year, I already would have been off my schedule because I have to go in early with the women and just sit around in an unair-conditioned loading dock, entertaining all the Nathan's employees' children. Because the years I've gone, there was like, say, 20 chairs, 25, 30 eaters, and half the 20 chairs are taken up by Nathan's employees' kids. So yeah. We couldn't even sit down.
They don't let them do that now. And eaters only.
It was just
get you a plastic chair.
We'd just be sweating. So I'd already be like off my game having to prepare so early. And then if you delay the contest for hours, I'd be like,
I was already home, man. I was on my
prep. All my prep was wasted.
So like you talk about preparation, like how have like others prepared for various challenges or like how the hell do you even get started in this game?
I think for me, it's like the technique, right, that's the thing I always never did, like try to practice, right? But like that's a big factor, right? Because a lot of people just think it's how much you can eat.
Yeah, I never food practiced just because I was concerned with calories. There were some thin people that would try to prepare the food. But I never thought, was I going to go in a grilled cheese sandwich contest? Do I know how to make a grilled cheese sandwich? Of course. But I'm going to make it like they make it, which is probably going to be 6-8 hours before the contest. They're going to be wrapped. You know, and it's going to be totally unlike anything you train with. It's not going to be a warm, like melted cheese. So I didn't train with food.
You didn't do hot dogs. You never trained like with
no. Nathan's? I would try to train hot dogs for technique.
Yeah, yeah.
Not for like a capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
Because hot dogs is a technique. If you want to go down, like I'm not.
Is fucking nuts.
I'm not a bad eater in any genre or field, but I'm a capacity eater.
Yeah.
Because I have that's my strong suit. I'm not going to say I'm the best capacity. That's my strong suit. So if I can just put food down.
Yeah.
So that's like a chili, a chowder, like a
poutine.
Grits.
That's an easy one. Poutine.
Something that I can just throw down and swallow without having to change the shape.
Yeah.
That's my strength. Having to change the shape is like a hot dog. You're not swallowing hot dogs or you're not swallowing buns. You have to change the shape of the hot dog. And you change it into the largest size you can swallow efficiently.
Yeah.
But you don't want to make it smaller and you don't want to make it larger because you don't want to do extra chewing. So
that's a balance.
That's a practice. That's a technique you have to practice.
Yeah.
Wings. You have to practice getting the meat off the bone.
Like yeah.
How do you do that? Say I've been in a lobster contest, Joey's first contest. You have to get the meat out of a lobster.
They did that in New Orleans. There's a crayfish one or crawfish. I don't know. You had to take it out of the.
So we had a crawfish contest. And
Crazy Legs is like, come on. I'm like, man, I don't know what the fuck this is. I'm going to do like one. I don't know how you get it out. He's like, show me how to get it out. I'm like, the fuck is that? Like,
I've seen you try and cut a pizza.
Yeah. I just said that, man. He's like, yeah, but nobody's coming to this contest. Beard, you'll do all right. I'm like, look, man, like, I don't need to do it, man.
I was in crawfish in Atlantic City and they weighed the trays and some eaters realized that they weren't making headway. But there's liquid in the trays. So they picked up the trays and were drinking the liquid to count the weight as eaten crawfish, right? So I remember my dad in the audience, I pick up my tray, I can't get a drop. Mine must have been the first ones thrown in at the top of the pile or something. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't open a crawfish. There's no free weight of water. I finished like third or fourth in the contest. I don't think I ate one crawfish.
Which is your favorite one, Bob?
The eater that won the contest was right next to another guy who ate like -1 pound of crawfish. And I'm like, well, right there, it's telling you something is wrong with the weights of these trays.
Yeah, yeah.
Something's not right. I won money and this guy ate negative food.
Which is your favorite, Bob? Like apart from like the Cristal one and apart from Wing Bowl because of what it was. Like, say for the where the food was actually all right. Like, I've done a few where it's very rare. I'd say it's very rare the food's good, right? Because like you say, it's usually if it's something cooked, it's gonna have been cooked ages before and it's left out in the heat or whatever. But the one that I thought was pretty cool was, do you ever do strawberry shortcake?
No, I refuse to.
Oh, all right. I never patted that one.
Never would do that.
Why?
Sugar.
No, it's Father's Day.
Oh, right.
So I have kids, and I'm not going to drive 4 hours to be in a contest and give up my Father's Day.
Fair copy. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But that's the only one I thought was like pretty good. Yeah, to be fair, poutine was pretty good. That's
poutine probably was good. Right. There's a contest, it's called Chili Spaghetti or Skyline Chili. And what I liked about that contest is there's different components in Skyline Chili. One of it's pasta, one of it's sauce and cheese. They weighed every plate. So it was like 8 ounces of pasta. So every plate had 8 ounces of pasta. They go back, add 3 ounces of chili, whatever the things were. So everybody got the same plate, which is, you would think it'd be common, but it is so not common. And then everybody showed up to contest, and like the big one guy was Joey, but Pat was there and some other eaters, and I won that back to back, and that's like kind of a highlight for me because you beat Joey once, it's a fluke, you know. At the time, that you didn't really beat Joey like now, but Joey really cared about every contest back then, so that was a big deal for me, and now he's more. I don't know. If I were him, like, if you won Nathan's 3,017 times, like, it's hard to stay focused for all these other contests. Like,
it's mad to me that, like, it keeps doing it. Like, if I won that once, which I never would, I'd be a one and done, you know what I mean? Maybe I'd defend it and lose it. You know, a bit like Matt did, right? You win that once, I'm, like, out, you know? And maybe I could still keep competing, right? But I'd just try and win a different one. I guess it's the biggest one, but it's crazy. I mean, like, you know, I spoke to him at the after party last year, and he's, like, he's already cooked by, like, I don't know, it's 7:30 and he's drunk already, right? And he's like, "Beer, man." He's like, "I just don't get this YouTube thing, man." I'm like, "Joey, like every year I say to you, like, what the F are you doing, man? Like, stop trying to kill yourself by eating, right? And just make YouTube videos, right? You've earned it now. People are watching. You don't have much for person. No, I'm joking. But like, he could do well, right? And he's like, "I don't know, man. Something seems so weird about sitting there, you know, talking to a camera." And I'm like, "Wait a second. You line up 70 hot dogs in your garden, which is overlooked by other people, and you have a guy come around to your house and like count your hot dogs publicly and talking to a camera is weird." And he's like, "Yeah, you got a point," and then just like walks off like drinking fucking beer. I think he's just like a different breed, man.
He's different, but I've been talking to him. Not that he told me anything. I have to imagine though, from talking to him and projecting how I would do it, at some point, some year, he has to be looking at an exit, like strategy. Like, what could I do to wrap my career up? I'm not saying this year, it could be 5 years from now, but some type of big play or something and go out on top.
I think he wants to do 80. That's my suspicion. I don't know if it's possible.
That could be the thing. It could just be a pure number. Like, I would just want to do something that 60 years from now when I die, it's still going to be the record. You know, he could be doing that because I don't see anybody doing it. There's that guy, Jay Webby, can eat. But eating is way different. Like I told you, I've beaten Joey back-to-back years. I didn't come close to winning hot dogs.
Like, why do you think that is? Close. I'm like genuinely interested. Why do you think that, like, nobody listens to
that? I didn't put in the, well.
But why do you think, like, because he even beats Jeff. Jeff tanks, like, Joey everything. But you can beat him everything apart from hot dogs. And he's 20 behind at hot dogs.
But he had that mentality at first, like, he's just going to do it. Like, he did, like, 30-some his first year at Nathan's.
You're 32, same as me.
32. Then we did a contest like 2 weeks later, and there's a bunch of us in the shuttle van, and he's like, "I'm going to do 50 next year." And we're like, first of all, who are you? And I had competed with him in some contest before he, you know, because that was right at the start of his career. And then he comes back and does 50. Like, he just has this thing, like, there's no reason I can't. If he can do it in practice, there's no reason I can't do it in a contest. And this is nothing against Jeff. It's not just Jeff. I don't think there's many other people that have that mentality. Like
the kind of mentality where you there's no swallow reason. Like three whole chicken wings.
Yeah, like there's no
championship caliber lot in it.
There's always people, you always slow down in a contest for some reason. or allow yourself to get knocked out of the game. Somebody spilled your water. I mean, Joey's literally put people in headlocks during the contest.
You know, that's the year he should have retired. Like, what? Yeah, like, is there anything more boss to do than that? Like, still win the contest after choking a dude out.
Yeah.
But walking, he got so lucky last year, walking outside and the camera just happened to be on him.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's do this effing thing or whatever he said. So that was pretty, like, feeds into it. But, like, I'm 57. I'm way older than everybody else in the game. And he's getting old from doing what he does. And at some point, I just got to feel there's an exit. Like, it could be 80. It could be, I don't know what, a big TV show or something. Like, I don't know what it would be, but something, not that he does Man versus Sue, but something that transitions him out of having to.
He's like Paul Newman. He's got his line of sauces, right? They sell those in Walmart. Am I right, Brandon? They sell like Joey Chestnut sauce. Yeah?
Ketchup mustard.
That's the big exit strategy. No.
Okay. YouTube could be that for him though, right? Like, I mean, obviously you guys are both on YouTube. You know, you make a living off of YouTube.
Yeah, well, but like, perhaps we talked to Joey about it as much as I haven't. I think
I've talked to Joey even since I've been in England. Not that we talk a lot, but like I'm really pushing, like I never saw this Facebook money before. And I've got a little taste of Facebook money and it's nice. Facebook money is nice money. So I share, like, listen, you're bigger than I am. This is what I'm doing. I'm putting out one video a week, and it's not a special edit. And I showed him what I got. And he's like, well, okay, maybe there's something out there.
But he always does that. Like, I'm talking about YouTube, man. I'm like, he knows because he did that. He did what are you, like, 34 Big Macs or something?
Yeah.
Crazy. I know, because people always email me saying, oh, yo, can you try and beat this? I'm like, hi. I don't think I could do half of that now. But, like, I think that video did like 4 or 5 million views, maybe even more. And I'm like, Joe, you don't even need to do something that extreme, right? And but like to him, something like that is probably, you probably didn't feel that bad afterwards. That to Joey, that's not.
But he's stuck in that whole numbers game, in my opinion. Like, if I want to put out a video, it's got to be a huge video. And I'm like, no, just go to a restaurant, do a challenge.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do it fast, because everybody on earth knows you can eat fast. And you can eat huge.
Yeah.
And I'm like post on YouTube, post on Facebook. And, you know, he's worried about, like, a lot of stuff that video, like, people in that space. Like, I edit my videos and I do it very poorly. Like, Ken.
I don't want to say anything.
He doesn't want to edit his videos, which is fine. But then there's that cost of having someone to edit him.
Yeah.
Like, a good editor, not the person on Fiverr, you know. And, like, I think he's in that, like, he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
It's going to help.
You're a star here. You've got light shining on you.
Yeah. We find out the negatives of using Windows.
We don't normally record this late, do we, right? How long have we been going?
We've been going over an hour, like an hour and 10 minutes.
You're the gaffer, man. Do we have to, like, wrap up or something?
Well, no, I wanted to just ask, like, your most viewed video on YouTube is the cheeseburgers.
Yes.
And
is that a McDonald's cheeseburgers one?
Yeah. Like 99 cent cheeseburgers. And you get the world record 67 or 68, well, I think it was.
When I filmed it, it was the world record.
All right, it's no longer the world record.
I got a call like a day, maybe the day later, 2 days later, Jeff calls me. And he's like, hey, you know, what's going on? I'm like, hey, what's up? And like, it's like, do you mind if I do it? And I go for it.
Have I?
Absolutely do it.
Oh, did Jeff do it? I didn't know he did it.
I said, could you give me 2 weeks? Like, I've never had a video with any traction whatsoever. I don't want, like, you beat it, like, film it, just release it at least 2 weeks
from now.
And if you release it tomorrow, I don't really care. I mean, I care, but I view it as anybody can do anything at any time. Yeah. Nobody owes me anything.
That's nice. And cool. Did he wait?
So he waited, and, like, he immediately broke my record.
So what did he
do? So I had the record, like, if I had to 866, which I don't really remember because records aren't that important. Like, I don't think about what I've done.
Yeah.
He did, like, say 68.
Okay.
Yeah. I did 64, he did 66. Whatever it was, he ended in the 60s, which was, like, two higher than me.
Yeah.
Johnny, there's something funny about Joey. I got to tell you this real quick. You know, when you did that, I saw him, I was at a contest, right? And I don't know if he, like, knows that we're, like, pretty tight or whatever. And he's talking to me, and he's like, you see how Bob Shout did the hamburger thing? I was like, yeah, man. He was like, I saw the video, right? And he's like, yeah, but I know Bob Shout, man. There's no way. You might have just taken, like, they were all wrapped up. You might have taken the burgers out. I'm like, Joey, man, why do you have to be so cynical? I was like, I know, Bob.
we had talked because we didn't understand YouTube. And I was like, it's so easy to fake this stuff. Like, we can do this. So no one would really question whether we did it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, faked it. You know what I mean? And because I thought all that stuff was just fake. And so when I did it, I'd already talked to him, like, ways you could fake it. Because everybody goes. And so as soon as he did the Big Mac video, I know he told me he thought I faked the cheeseburger. Like, he was performing. You told me he said it. So as soon as he did the Big Mac, I'm like, oh, you faked the Big Mac. And he's like, what do you mean? I go, you had a wide shot the entire time. One time you do a close up to your face, right? And then you go back to the wide shot. Well, there's an edit that you could have clearly left and done something.
You used to make me laugh about that video, and you did loads for a while where you had about seven cameras on you. You were your kitchen. You'd have like a GoPro that way. He's like, just so nobody thinks I've faked this. I'm like, Bobby, trying too hard now.
On that one there, he has like a GoPro up high. He has like a wide camera at the front. The wide camera at the front switches off, so he's got this one up high. But like, even after 30, like, I'm watching it going, he's going to do this. 30 cheeseburgers in. I took a screenshot. He's laid on. He's like this.
Oh.
He's laid over, just hanging out.
It was rough. I had like a two channels into one. I was a chug guy because I could just chug. I could chug up there at the time. I was like a top chugger. And I had a food thing. And it's so much harder to eat food than to chug. Like, I did the McDonald's. I walked by my wife and said, if this thing doesn't hit, that is the last food video I'll ever film. Like, I'm just done. Yeah. I'm just chugs. Because I would be like, I would go to my local nuclear power plant, and they're big cooling towers. Have you ever seen it? So I wouldn't be on their property, but it looks like I'm on their property. And I'd be like I would chug, and then I would have somebody dub a voice in, like, hey, what are you doing over there? You
know what I mean? Yeah.
Like those type of videos.
Yeah.
But I would chug a gallon, which would be nothing for me, like, of whatever, and then just go. And that was a collab with Grabucci, and at the time, I was getting an email every sub I got, because I would get like two subs a week. I get an email like twice a week. I'd be like, oh my gosh, my life is so good. I got two subs. I couldn't get through my emails because it was just thousands of straight messages of, you have a new subscriber. You have a new subscriber. Yeah, yeah. So I immediately jumped, like, instantly, like 15, 20,000 subs.
Wow.
Because Ricardo did it with me. And I don't know what was going on with Ricardo. I love Ricardo.
Like, he's a Brazilian guy, by the way.
He comes, stays over my house. Like, he's literally invited to my son's wedding coming up in July. Like, he's a friend of the family. but he didn't even buy enough cheese, like, burgers to set the record. We're both trying to set the record. I'm like, you have to at least pretend like you're trying to set the record.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I bought 80 because I didn't know what I could do.
Yeah.
But I'm so bad with setting up 7,000 cameras.
Yeah.
It was like an hour and a half, 2 hours after I bought them before I started to eat them.
Yeah, you gave the commentary like, I bought these at like 12:01. It's now, 3:45.
But that was the only cool thing I did in the video is when I ordered them online, I clicked up to 80, and then I added like a Mario Kart sound effect. I added some sound to it. And like, that's the only creative thing I've ever done on a video. Aside from the picture-in-picture I did with the pizza with you, where I held the cardboard.
Yeah.
That I did a little frame. Like, I'm very uncreative, but that's good. And that was the beginning of the video. So I think that helped catch on. So now I have no idea why it keeps going. People keep saying I have the record, which was, I had it for days.
Yeah.
But
I think somebody in Japan said they did it. And it was like, you know, when the women do it in Japan, I think there's somebody that said they did like 82 or something crazy.
Well, that's the thing. Like, there's eaters. I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to throw anybody on the bus, but there's American eaters that claim they have the Big Mac record. And there's like some dude in China who's just sitting there in a contest, eating more than anybody. And we're posting videos saying we have the record. And there's videos out there, this guy in China who did it. But I know for a fact Brazilian burgers are smaller than ones in the U.S.
Yeah.
I can't say if China's bigger or not, England. So it's really hard to compare.
Are we going to go film that after this?
I'm down.
Watch me do 18 burgers. Be like, I'm done.
That's big class. I think I've got a bunch more questions from like the we'll do a Patreon section. Patreon questions.
But it's hard when you get guests on, right? There's always stuff you just want to talk about.
Yeah, like we could go on for hours. But honestly, man, it's been a pleasure finally to have you on the show.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hopefully, like when you're back in the UK next, come back.
Shall we save for the Patreon what we call Beard?
Yeah.
We'll save it for Patreon.
All right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, call me. I'm right here.
Well, okay. I'll let the patron down. We'll
see. He's not old, he's not Patreon. Is. Oh. Only joking. Well, thanks for coming on, Bob.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Cheers, mate.
Peace.